Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila Chapter 12 The Cleansing of the Gundicha Temple. Okay, page 68. The philosophy of monism is an adjustment of the Buddhist philosophy of voidism. In a mock fight with Sri Advaitacharya, Sri Nityananda Prabhu was refuting this type of monistic philosophy. Vaishnavas certainly accept Lord Sri Krishna as the ultimate one, and that which is without Krishna is called Maya, or that which has no existence. External Maya is exhibited in two phases, Jiva Maya, the living entities, and Guna Maya, the material world. In the material world, there is Prakriti, material nature, and Pradhan, the ingredients of material nature. However, for one who becomes Krishna conscious, the distinction between material and spiritual varieties does not exist. An advanced devotee like Prahlad Maharaj sees everything as one, Krishna, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.4.37. Krishna graha grihi tatma naveda jagad idrisham. One who is in full Krishna consciousness does not distinguish between things material and spiritual. He takes everything to be related to Krishna and therefore spiritual. But by Advaya Jnana Darshana, Srila Advaitacharya has glorified pure devotional service. Srila Nityananda Prabhu herein sarcastically condemns the philosophy of the impersonal monist and praises the correct non-dual philosophy of Sri Advaita Prabhu. So very subtly then they're bringing up these points. You know, it's like Nityananda Prabhu, I don't even know who this is and this and that, because he's beyond knowing. He's the, you know, the origin and everything, and you can't know him by anything. He's not part of the social system. He's beyond. He's the source. So they say all these things, and in one sense they're praising the person, but it sounds like they're mock fighting. So that was Prabhupada's point here.
Maharaj, can we say that you can say Advaita Prabhu, he plays a role, or he seems to play the role of an impersonalist, and he can under of Vaduta. Can we say this is the two extremes?
He's not playing the role, he's just called Advaita, because he's non-different from Krishna. But because of that, then he's pointing out that everything's spiritual, everything's transcendental. So that's the actual proper understanding, is how everything's connected to Krishna. And so here is that you don't see you don't see duality, because duality technically means you don't see it connected to Krishna. So therefore I have this and that, and you know, all the different things that we will develop on issues about, and you know, philosophies about, and all these different things. But because it's all Krishna, then like Prahlad Maharaj says, we see everything connected to Krishna. So there is no material consideration. Everything's all connected. And so because of everything being connected, then everything becomes spiritual. So this is the oneness he's talking about, is seeing everything all connected to Krishna. Right? Because that's the point. So here is that we don't have a problem with these words. Like someone says, I'm God. Yeah, you're God, I'm God. We're all God, but we're small gods. Then Krishna is the big God. You know, here, yes, it's all one. Yeah, it's all one with Krishna. Krishna is Advaita. He's non-dual. But the point is their perception is not accepted because they're exclusive monism, because they don't see the variety. And we're saying it's all Krishna, but there's variety. That's because his energies then create all the variety. Mm-hmm. Right? But they're non-different from him. So it's just a philosophy that's beyond mundane logic. And so that's why it's harder to understand, because we're used to mundane logic. And so then these points then become something more to analyze, right? And so we don't necessarily see how they, you know, connect properly, because we're used to semantics, you know, that there's a word, and that word is the whole thing.
Yes.
But the point is words do carry, have potency. The Abhida Shakti is there. But that's coming from Krishna. The syllables are coming from Krishna. The meanings are coming from Krishna. The Abhida Shakti that you can express things is coming from Krishna. So it does have, but it only becomes understandable when it's seen in the context of Krishna. Because otherwise we can argue a point, but if that point's not seen in connecting with Krishna, then we will get distracted. You know, that's what happens with the smartest. They're discussing Shastra, you know, the correctness in Shastra. And so they have that piety that they accept and follow Shastra. And Krishna's given the Shastra, and so that way then for their pious activities, they get pious results. But they'll never know Krishna because they're not seeing it in the context of Krishna. Right? You know, saw it before, is that that is thought that as we are material, because and we have form, so he has form, so he must be material. Rather than, no, he's beyond, and because he has form, that's why we have form. They always do it the other way, that inductive aspect. Is that... Yeah. 212-195, Nityananda Prabhu continued, "You are such a monist, and now I am eating beside you. I do not know how my mind will be affected in this way," right? Because the other ones say, my mind will be affected by sitting by somebody who's socially unknown and know it like this. Because he is. He's not known by social convention right now. Srila Prabhupada, Sangat Sanjayate Kama, Bhagavad Gita 2:62. One develops his consciousness according to society and association. As Srila Nityananda Prabhu admits, a devotee should be very careful when associating with those who are not devotees. When asked by a householder devotee what the behavior of a devotee should be, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately replied, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 2287, Asat Sangha Tyag A Vaishnav Achar, Sri Sangi Eka Asadhu Krishna Bhakta Ar. A Vaishnav, a devotee, should simply discard intimate association with non-devotees. In his Upadeshamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami has described the symptoms of intimate relations in this way. Dadati pratigrihinati guhyam akyati prichati bhunkte bojayate chaiva sadvidvam priti lakshanam. The words bhunkte bojayate indicate that one should eat with devotees. One should carefully avoid eating food offered by non-devotees. Indeed, a devotee should be very strict in not accepting food from a non-devotee, especially food prepared in restaurants or hotels or on airplanes. Srila Nityananda Prabhu's reference in this connection is meant to emphasize that one should avoid eating with Mayavadis and covert Mayavadis like the Sahajiya Vaishnavas. Right? Sahajiyas are still Mayavadis because they think they become Radha and Krishna. We are materially affected. Right, so the point is that interaction between them, that you're not doing, right? Because these different places may happen. You're in these pleasant restaurants, hotels, on the plane. Someone from there offers you something, you know, that they have, and this and that. These things, you know, you have to be very, very careful about that. Does that make sense? Because the consciousness there, it comes through the food. So you're taking prasad, you get the transcendental material, that material consciousness comes. Right? So he's making the point. So they're in the mock battle here, they're making bona fide points, but at the same time this is a secondary meaning in which they're glorifying the other person. Like that. 212, 196, 203. Thus they both went on talking and praising one another, although their praise appeared negative, for it appeared as if they exchanged ill names. Thereafter, calling all the Vaishnavas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed Mahaprasad as if sprinkling nectar. At that time, the mock fighting between Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu became more and more delicious. After taking their lunch, all the Vaishnavas stood up and chanted the holy name of Hari, and resounding noise filled all the upper and lower planetary systems. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered flower garlands and sandalwood pulp to all his devoted personal associates. The seven persons headed by Swarup Damodar, who were engaged in distributing prasad to others, then took their meals within the room. Govinda saved some remnants of food left by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and kept them carefully. Later, one portion of these remnants was delivered to Haridas Thakur. The remnants of food left by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were later distributed amongst devotees who begged for them. And finally, Govinda personally took the last remnants. The fully independent Supreme Personality of Godhead performs various types of pastimes. The pastime of washing and cleansing the Gundi temple is but one of them, right? So this whole thing of going there, cleaning and everything, and then after cleaning, then they all took prasad in a very festive spirit, you know, distributing nicely, having nice discussions, mm-hmm. and all these things like that. So that's the whole point, is to be absorbed in Krishna and all that. You know, the rule is no talking, no this. No, it's like we don't talk nonsense. So you don't talk nonsense. You know, that's something connected to Krishna. The idea, no talking, it's nice. It's a pious thing. It's a religious thing, but it's not necessarily a devotional thing. Devotional is talking about Krishna, like that. So that's then what you want to do. Verses 204 to 222, the Netrotsava festival, 212-204. The next day marked the performance of Netrotsava. The great festival was the life and soul of the devotees. Srila Prabhupada. After the bathing ceremony of Lord Jagannath, during the fortnight before the Rath Yatra ceremony, the body of Lord Jagannath, having been washed, needs repainting. This is known as Angaraga. The Netrotsava festival, performed gorgeously in the early morning of the Nava Yovana day, constitutes the life and soul of the devotees. 212, 205 to 207. Everyone was unhappy for a fortnight because they could not see the deity of Lord Jagannath. Upon seeing the Lord at the festival, the devotees were very happy. On this occasion, greatly happy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took all the devotees with him and visited the Lord in the temple. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to visit the temple, Kashishwara walked in front, checking the crowds of people, and Govinda walked in the rear, bringing the sannyasi's pitcher filled with water.
Mm-hmm. Charachandra Prabhu asked me this question, when Lord is in this Anavasara, then where the Mahaprasad is coming from? Because Lord doesn't eat all the 64 items like that. Is it the one which is in the front they offer to a... I heard that there is a cloth in front and they offer like that.
Maybe, because the point is, it's not that Jagannath can't eat, it's just his pastime that he does like that and he takes his medicine and everything. But it's not that he can't eat.
They offer to that. They put a cloth on
them. Maybe. I don't know. Because, you know, you have to go, you know, if you go in the temple, then you know all these things. If not, then you know that there's a path around and there's a chakra on top. And, you know, that's as much as one knows. Yeah, so here is that first morning of the Rath Yatra day. So in the morning when he comes out and you can see him in that. So that's the Netrotsava, that you get to see him, the festival of the eyes, you know, so you can have to take darshan. Then after that, he'll go out for the Rath Yatra.
So Maharaj, it is the same day that when the deity come back to temple,
yes.
Temple, they go to Rath Yatra.
Yes, same day. Yeah, all right. And cooped up for 2 weeks, they want to get out. It seems so. Every year they're repainted, yeah.
It's interesting that.
Because it means art, well, that's what we do, and that's what they do.
It's interesting that when they take the deities out of the temple to bring them into the car, promotion.
Yes, yes.
And the deities are always covered with these black marks on their eyes. They're dirty. Like handprints.
Well, because when they're moving them, they have to put their hands and this and that. And that's just the way that the local pandas are. They have their method. We have ours. So we don't need to copy what they do. You know, certain things are fun. He wears a nice big crown because when he moves, when he comes, then it rocks. You know, like that. That's what's there. But, you know, if you have little deities and that, you know, it's just, you can put like that, but it's... Now, so we don't have to try to do all the things. We do what we will do. They do what they do. We don't have to. You know, there's certain festivals that are established, like the Chandan Yatra or the Ratha Yatra, and that, those things we do. But it's not that, you know, yeah. Does that make sense? You know, so they're, how they'll go and, you know, rocking them and this and that. No, you just carry them. Is that... So they do, they come out, you know, Jagannath always, there's a place when they're bringing him out, there's one arch, he stops it. And he won't move. And like that, and all the pandas come out, and especially the older ones and that, who are more well-versed in the local slang. And they come out and they just say all kinds of things for that. And after 45 minutes or an hour, and he's satisfied that they've said all the choice things, then he starts moving again. So it's just, it's the that's between him and those pandas. We don't do that. We're not going to copy that. We have our system. We work differently. That's why you see Lord Chaitanya and his devotees, they're not doing puja. They come, take darshan, they take part in the festivals as you know, we would by watching. And that's all. Their puja and what they do and who goes in the temple and not, that's their business. It's not our business. Does that make sense? Yeah, so then we... Okay. Srila Prabhupada, the karanga is a kind of water pot especially carried by Mayavadi sannyasis and generally carried by all other sannyasis. So especially, I think it's made from... It might be betel nut or some other... Something off the palm tree. And that it's shaped in this kind of like round shape and they're by nature waterproof, right? And then they put a wooden thing on the top and a wooden thing on the bottom. You know, and the one on the top has the handle, and they put a metal spout in. I'm not sure how they connect it together like that, but they use some kind of like wax or some sealing wax maybe or something like that, and that's what's carried. So then it's not an uncommon thing that the assistants will carry the water pot. Sometimes water pot, danda. Sometimes they'll carry themselves. But it's very common that they'll do like that. So it's very, yeah. So Kashishwar moves everybody in front,
yes.
And then your Govinda walks in the rear because you don't want to go in front, you know, knock your pot out or anything like this and that.
Also, it said Kashishwar is like
hefty. Kashishwar is big, yeah. Yes. So, you know, hence when Prabhupada would move through crowds, Brahmananda would go in the front. So same duties. 212, 208, 210. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went toward the temple, Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Puri walked in front of him, and at his two sides walked Sri Damodara and Advaitacharya. With great eagerness, all the other devotees followed them to the temple of Lord Jagannath. So then they'll be there. Brahmananda Puri, and so in front of them will be Kashishwar. Because you first got to get people to move. And that's an art in itself, to be able to move through a crowd. Like that, without having to stop. It means they're able to move like that, because there's a way to move the people. Because they're there in a block, but once you've moved them, then they're moved, and you can get through like that. Because, you know, people are sensitive, and they don't notice, but then when they do, then they'll step back. Because as soon as, like, you put, huh, what? And then, they, you know, you naturally turn away. And by doing that, everyone turns away and makes it. But you have to do it nicely.
India is a good place to do that.
It's probably one of the best places to practice, especially, for Ratha Yatra in Calcutta, moving the deities,
yes.
Definitely one of the best places. Out of great eagerness to see the Lord, they all neglected the regulative principles and, just to see the Lord's face, went to the place where the food was offered. You know, so right in the front. Because there's a place that I've heard, it's just that it's lower down. So all the boga goes in, because they don't close during the day. I mean, they don't close, I think, until like 11 at night or something, or 12 at night. And so, but they make all the offerings. So all the bogas brought in at this lower level, Jagannath can see. But the people in the, they can't see, they see Jagannath. That they were even discussing, they didn't do it here, but one of the original designs of the big temple was a similar kind of thing. Not for boga, because that we do inside and everything, close the doors. But they were going to have a wide kind of like trench that the guests went through for darshan. Because so many people are going through for darshan, you know, and we're trying to have kirtan and guru puja and all this, and you can't do anything because of all the crowds. So the devotees would be in that, in a raised area with Prabhupada's Vyasasan. And then there'd be this thing where it's just kind of slightly lower, you know, so it drops people down so you can see over their heads, but they can see the deities. But then the devotees are behind, and they can't get up and bother the devotees because there'd be a railing there. So, you know, it's dropped down a few feet. Like that, you know, if it's a meter down, then we can see, and they can see, like that. But it didn't come into this design. But one of the, I think Padasevan is designing this. So it, they got that, I think, from Puri, from the Boga.
Also, Gaudiya Mutt's design.
Sorry?
All the Gaudiya Mutt's design is there's a space and there's a back.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, you saw before, even in the temples, they have the courtyard and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But then that's very big. Oh, they do it more close like that. Because Radha Raman is all the people who go there, and just the musicians are back. Okay. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada. There are many regulated principles of deity worship. For example, one is not allowed to enter the room where food is offered to Lord Jagannath. But in this case, being very eager because of not having seen the Lord for 15 days... all the people overruled the regular principles and entered the room. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 2:12, 2:11, 2:12. Wow. Two eleven, 2:12. Then it sounds like it's 211. Yeah. To 12, but the same is you either put the 2 there or don't, you get the same, you'd say it the same way.
Yes.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very thirsty to see the Lord, and his eyes became like two bumblebees drinking the honey from the lotus eyes of Lord Jagannath, who is Krishna himself. The eyes of Lord Jagannath conquered the beauty of blossoming lotus flowers, and his neck was as lustrous as a mirror made of sapphires. Srila Prabhupada. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu usually saw Lord Jagannath from a distance, standing behind the column of Garuda. But because he had not seen Lord Jagannath for 15 days, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt great separation from him. In great eagerness, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu crossed the meeting hall and entered the room where food was offered, just to see the face of Lord Jagannath. In verse 2:10, this action is called Maryada Langhana, a violation of the regulated principles. Because maryada means following the rules. Right? This indicates that one should not come very near a superior. Both the Lord's deity form and the spiritual master should be seen from a distance. Mm. This is called maryada. Otherwise, it is said, familiarity breeds contempt. Mm. Sometimes coming too near the deity or the spiritual master degrades the neophyte devotee. Personal servants of the deity and the spiritual master should therefore always be very careful, for negligence may overcome them in their duty. Two twelve, 2:13, 2:22. The chin of the Lord, tinged with buff color, conquered the beauty of the banduli flower. This increased the beauty of his mild smiling, which was like lustrous waves of nectar. The luster of his beautiful face increased at every moment, and the eyes of hundreds and thousands of devotees drank its honey like bumblebees. As her eyes began to drink the nectarian honey of his lotus face, their thirst increased. Thus their eyes did not leave him. Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees enjoyed transcendental bliss upon seeing the face of Jagannath. This continued to midday. As usual, there were transcendental blissful symptoms in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body. He perspired and trembled, and a constant flow of tears fell from his eyes. But the Lord checked these tears so they would not disturb his seeing the face of the Lord. Their looking at the face of Lord Jagannath was interrupted only when he was offered food. Afterwards, they would again look upon his face. When the food was being offered to the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his kirtan. Feeling such great pleasure upon seeing the face of Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forgot everything. The devotees, however, took him to his lunch at noontime, knowing that the car festival would take place in the morning. Okay, so it's the next day. All the servants of Lord Jagannath were doubling their offerings of food. I have briefly described the pastimes of the Lord in washing and cleansing the Gunjit temple. By seeing or hearing these pastimes, even sinful man can awaken their Krishna consciousness. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Yeah. Conclusion. If one wants to see Krishna seated in his heart, he must first cleanse the heart. 135 purport. In this age, everyone's heart is especially unclean. To wash away all dirty things accumulated in the heart, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised everyone to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. The first result will be that the heart is cleansed. Krishna himself will help cleanse the heart because he is already seated there. Krishna wants to continue living within the heart, and the Lord wants to give directions. But one has to keep his heart as clean as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept the Gundicha temple. The devotee, therefore, has to cleanse his heart just as the Lord cleansed the Gundicha temple. In this way, one can be pacified and enriched in devotional service. The heart is filled with straw, grains of sand, weeds, or dust. In other words, anyabhilashapurna. Right, so you have anyabhilashi. Anyabhilashunya means no, or avilasha. Anyabhilashapurna.
Choice.
Yes. One can enthrone the Supreme Personality of Godhead there. The heart must be cleansed of all material motives brought about through fruit of work, speculative knowledge, the mystic yoga system, and so many other forms of so-called meditation. And so the Lord's already sitting there, so he's going to help us in cleansing the heart. It's not that he's not going to help, but the point is we have to be comfortable with giving these things up, comfortable with absorbing ourselves in the Lord. And so then we want to always think of the Lord. So then placing the Lord there means the heart is purified. Right? We want to think of the Lord, so we make that endeavor. And the Lord's there, so then he'll reveal himself. All these activities are against the natural growth of spontaneous love of Godhead. As soon as these are present within the heart, the devotee should be understood to be unclean and therefore unfit to serve as Krishna's resting place. We cannot perceive the Lord's presence in our heart unless our hearts are cleansed. Right, so it must have been a list of improper. These are all different quotes, right?
Yes.
An inordinate desire for economic development. This means all these ones of fruit of work, this, that. All these are activities against pure devotional service, right? An inordinate desire for economic development is considered to be like straws and grains of sand within the heart. In other words, endeavor for material opulence is against the principle of devotional service. Material enjoyment includes activities such as great sacrifices for auspicious activity, charity, austerity, elevation to the higher planetary system, and even living happily within the material world. Right, so all these things are there. Elevation of the higher planets and living happily we're here. Because it's just a matter of how much works, that's how much we do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that there's idea that, you know, you can be happy here. No, you're not uncomfortable. So you make it how much is you won't be uncomfortable. So in other words, for you it'll be normal. Right? So for one person, a very small place is normal. For another place, a person, a very big place is normal. But it's normal. They're not going, wow, okay, yeah, this is good. I'm enjoying myself. No. That's too much. It has to be whatever is there. So each individual, according to their position in that, it's going to be different. But the principle is there. So that's why we're looking at that the principles are there and people are following them, rather than simply the externals. So, you know. Otherwise, we'd have to move all the devotees to San Francisco, right? Because everything there is exactly the same, right? So, yeah. Modernized material benefits are like the dust of material contamination. When this dust is agitated by the whirlwind of fruitive activities, it overcomes the heart. Thus, the mirror of the heart is covered with dust. There are many desires to perform auspicious and inauspicious activities, but people do not know how life after life they are keeping their hearts unclean. The sufferings of human society cannot be counteracted by material plans. The only way suffering can be mitigated is by Krishna consciousness. When one takes to Krishna consciousness and engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord, beginning with chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, the cleansing of the heart begins. When the heart is actually cleansed, one can clearly see the Lord sitting there without any disturbance, right? So it's mentioning here both pious and impious, because they think, no, we can materially, you know, deal, make a nice situation, you know, because we'll take it that being pious is clean, but it's just nice dirty. Does that make sense? Instead of not nice dirty. Does that make sense? You know, just like, let's say, someone goes out, you know, it's the thing that, you know, you and your associates are all into, you know, some, you know, good, you know, morning exercise, you know, like, let's say, someone going jogging or go down to the gym and all that. So then being there, then there's going to be, you know, you're going to get hot and sweaty. So you're unclean. But everybody will consider, oh, this is a very good unclean. See, they work so hard, the nice sweaty, getting the, you know, the heart moving and all those kind of things. So that you'll consider, oh, that's a good like that. You know, but something else, then they'll have that'll be unclean. You know? So that's the aspect that one's trying to avoid, is that the material piety, it's simply is another material activity. And it gives material results. It doesn't give spiritual. No activity on the material platform, no religious process gives Krishna consciousness. It has to be done in connection with Krishna. You have to see everything connected to Krishna. Then you get that benefit. But you're getting the benefit from the devotion, not from the activity. But these are natural activities to express. That's all. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like you're using a nice pot to cook with. But the pot isn't what's doing the cooking. Pot can sit there all day and you can come in back every 20 minutes and check. There's nothing in the pot. You know? You apply cooking to the pot. And if you don't apply cooking, the pot sits there. And gives nothing. So in the same way is that all these religious processes, if they're not connected to Krishna and devotion, they don't give any spiritual result. They just don't. If they're connected to Krishna, then they're perfect mediums. Just like the pot's a perfect medium to manifest cooking. But it itself is not cooking. Does that make sense? Because you can say, oh, but without it, you can't cook. Somebody's very expert, they can cook anyway. Does that make sense? Because cooking is its own independent aspect. Then you have the things with manifesting. So you have to understand is that you're manifesting cooking. If there wasn't cooking, what's the point of a pot? It would have no meaning. You know, it may be, yes, through the pot you can appreciate the cooking, but if there was no cooking, the pot would have, the pot wouldn't exist. You've made the pot because there is cooking. Yes. Right? So? Yes.
We often refer to the heart, not just the body part. So what he's talking about the heart, because it's mentioned in the Shastra in some of the ways.
Yes.
The heart refers to consciousness.
Yeah, the heart is where the living entity is, the Supreme Lord is, the, and so where the living entity is, then that's, you know, he'll be there, he's conscious. The mind, intelligence, false ego will be there. So it's, you know, it's the antakarana or the chitta,
yeah.
Like that. So then when it's connected to Krishna, then it becomes very nice. When it's not connected to Krishna, not so nice.
Because, you know, we tend to keep this image of everything is here. In the heart, you know, the organ that pumps the blood.
You have to move your hand over a little bit.
And in that area, that's where everything happens.
Yeah,
the emotions, the feelings, the consciousness, all the dirt and everything.
It's all there. That's if you get that far. Most people think it's all happening in their head. Yeah. But that's the point that Prabhupada makes in the Daksha Yajna. It has nothing to do with the head, because Shiva put a goat head on and he was just as daksha as ever. You know, it means, you know, his wife might not have been as impressed like that, but because it all happens in the heart. Therefore, the brain is just the mechanics in which it works through. You know, it's just like someone's a driver. You put them in a nice car, what they're used to, but you can stick them in anything. You know? And still, it'll work.
But then at the same time, consciousness, from what Bhagavad Gita says, it's spread from the heart.
Yes, but it's coming from one central place. That's from the living entity. So it doesn't matter how big the body is, your consciousness spreads through that body. So if it's an ant, then it's that much. If it's an elephant, it's that much. You know, so, you know, if it's a giraffe, you know, then...
Elongated consciousness.
Yes, you know, all the way to the top, all the way to the end of the tail, you know, like that, yeah. So it's in the chitta, so that's in the middle. Like that. Of course, you always have to explain that during a wedding ceremony to the groom.
When the jiva leaves his body, he can leave with different chakra.
He can leave?
Different chakra.
He can leave through different chakras.
He can leave the body by different chakra.
Yeah, it means you have to go out of one of the nine gates, you know, unless you're being a yogi and you go out to Brahmarandra.
Yes.
But otherwise, the nine gates are what you use. It's just like you want to get out, you go out through the, you know, hard to go out through the column, but you can go out through the gap between, you know. So it's the same way, they just go out through the open.
Yes.
Yeah? So like that. So, main thing is remember Krishna, not which gate you're going out. I wouldn't worry about that. Okay, so that's...
We didn't do,
okay. Thus, the cleansing of the Gundicha Mandir was conducted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to let us know how the heart should be cleansed and to receive Lord Sri Krishna and enable him to sit within the heart without disturbance. I mean, he's already there by his own arrangement. But if we're enthroning the Lord in the heart, that means then by our meditation we're absorbed in the Lord and it's as service. So that place, then that's where you make a very clean place and then have Krishna sit there. Because if you're thinking of all nonsense, how do you sit Krishna there? So that's where the heart has to be purified. So in here, one has to be very aware of that but how do you purify? By devotional service. So in other words, we need to purify the heart. The only way is through devotional service. So anartha nivritti means you're focusing on Krishna and the anarthas are going away. But if we focus on just how to get rid of anarthas and that's all, and don't focus on Krishna, then we've missed the point. So we're aware of what's improper. We're being careful to not do anything that's improper. But at the same time, as we're trying to do what is proper, which is remembering Krishna. So?
But it is always by devotional service.
It's always by devotional service. But sometimes we can get too absorbed in anartha nivritti and forget that it's about Krishna.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like that. Huh? Yeah, I remember, we were in Kazakhstan for some, you know, one of Govinda Maharaj's big programs. So I think he was there, Shivaram Maharaj was there, I think maybe Indradyumna Maharaj, Niranjan Maharaj, like that. And so then I was giving a class, and I think that was kind of at the time when, you know, there were some discussions on Maturya Kadambini and all that. So I was discussing about this whole Anartha Nivriti and breaking down the different points and what you have to be careful of and this and that. And, you know, and that's what was discussed. And then afterwards, I think Govinda Maharaj and maybe Shivaram Maharaj, but I think they were both there, then they made the point that devotional service is not about Anartha Nivriti. Mm. And I was wondering, you know, I say, no, but it's one of the processes. What are you talking, you know, I didn't catch it then. Like that. But their point was, I only spoke on that. I didn't show how to connect to Krishna, how to it's about being absorbed in Krishna. Yeah. And so you're aware of these things. You know, it's just like you want to keep clean. You're careful and don't step in the mud puddle.
Yes.
You know, it's not that, oh, you don't care. It's just about Krishna and then you fall in the mud puddle. No, it's you're careful of it, but it's about Krishna. You're not stepping in the mud puddle because it's for Krishna. So I didn't wrap that up.
Yes.
And so then it just becomes a discussion on Anartha Nivriti only, like that. So they pointed that out. That was like, what was that? That would have been in, like 15 years ago or something like that. So, yeah. And now it's more obvious. So we have another volume?
Yes.
Okay, so this is 13 through 16. Festivals in Jagannath Puri. Okay, so then we have here. Table of Contents. Chapter 13, the ecstatic dancing of the Lord at Ratha Yatra. Okay, then the Pandu Vijaya ceremony. Lord Chaitanya organizes, inspires the Sampakirtan parties, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dance with Lord Jagannath. Then, chapter 14, performance of the Vrindavan pastimes. King Prataparudra recites the Gopi Gita to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The devotees honor Prasad in the garden near Balagandhi. Lord Chaitanya and his devotees deliver Lord Jagannath to Gundicha. 9 days of pastimes at the Jagannath Vallabha garden. Okay, so he stays 9 days. The Hara Panchami festival. Lord Jagannath's return to Neelachal. Chapter 15, the Lord accepts prasadam at the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sri Advaitacharya's worship of Lord Chaitanya. The devotees celebrate Nanda Mahotsava and other festivals. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives specific instructions to his devotees. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya invites the Lord for prasadam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shows mercy to Amoga. Chapter 16, the Lord's attempt to go to Vrindavan. The Bengali Vaishnav's third annual pilgrimage to Jagannath Puri. The Lord's attempt to go to Vrindavan, crossing the Orissa border. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visits his devotees in West Bengal. The Lord makes a new plan to travel to Vrindavan without a crowd. Crowds are overrated. Chapter 13. The ecstatic dancing of the Lord at Ratha Yatra, Pratigya. Only when the mind is freed from designations can one desire the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? Because it's not, you know, as we are. You know, He is as He is, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have to identify as His servant. Because otherwise, if we have the upadis, the tendency is that we're going to see Him in context of our upadis. You know, like we were discussing in the morning, the various materialistic focuses that people have in philosophy about the Lord. Right? They take their own anarthas and then project those onto the Lord. Adhyaya Prakashika. A summary of this chapter is given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Prabaha Bhasya as follows. After bathing early in the morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the deities, Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra, get aboard their three cars. This function is called Pandu Vijaya. At that time, King Prataparudra took a broom with a golden handle and began to cleanse the road. Lord Jagannath took permission from the goddess of fortune and then started in the car for the Gundicha temple. The road to the temple led along a beach, along a broad sandy beach. And on both sides of the road were wet residential quarters, houses and gardens. Along that road, the servants, called Gaudas, began to pull the carts. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu divided his Sankirtan party into seven divisions, with two mridangas in each division. There were altogether 14 mridangas. Right, so this is more spread out, so he had 14 here. While we see when he was going around the temple, then he had four groups. Right, so there they had, I think, four mridangas, right, and 32 kartals. So here it'll be two mridangas and eight kartals, right? While performing Sankirtana, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had exhibited various symptoms of transcendental ecstasy, and Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exchanged their feelings very blissfully. When the cars reached the place known as Balagandhi, the devotees offered the deities simple food. At this time, in a nearby garden, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees took a brief rest from the dancing. Yeah, so it seems that when he comes to a particular place, then they make an offering and everything like that. So then the devotees rested from the kirtan. Shloka Anusharanam, verses 1 to 24, the Panduvijaya ceremony. 25 to 69, Lord Chaitanya organizes and inspires the Sankirtan parties. 70 to 209, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dance with Lord Jagannath. Verses 1 to 24, the Panduvijaya ceremony. 2:13, 1 through 8. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who danced in front of the car of Sri Jagannath, be all glorified. By seeing his dancing, not only was the whole universe held in wonder, but Lord Jagannath himself became very much astonished. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prabhu Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Chanda. And all glories to the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to the listeners of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Please hear the description of the dancing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the Rath Yatra festival. His dancing is very enchanting. Please hear of it with great attention. The next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his personal associates got up in the dark and attentively took their early morning baths. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his personal associates then went to see the ceremony of Panduvijaya. During this ceremony, Lord Jagannath leaves his throne and gets up onto the car. King Prataparudra in person, as well as his entourage, allowed the Panduvijaya ceremony to be seen by all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his prominent devotees, Advaitacharya, Nityanandapu, and others, were very happy to observe how Lord Jagannath began the Ratha Yatra. The very strongly built daitas, carriers of the Jagannath deity, were as powerful as drunken elephants. They manually carried Lord Jagannath from the throne to the car. Srila Prabhupada, the word daita refers to one who has received the mercy of the Lord. Lord Jagannath has a number of stalwart servants known as daitas. These servants do not come from very high caste families, Brahmana, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, but because they are engaged in the service of the Lord, they have been elevated to a respected position. Thus they are known as daitas, means those who have gotten the mercy, like that. So it seems that they're known for being big and strong. Yes. That's their... You know, of course they have to have a proper attitude and be devotees, but, you know, that size is important. So we see here is that, here it's about, because the Lord is there, it's the personal thing, so people moving him. We have a tendency, how to make it into something, into a show, and you put it on, and then Jagannath will be on this cart and fly through the air, and everyone will see, and then it's entertainment. Where's the personal thing? Who's personally interacting? Everyone's just going, wow, that's cool. But where's the affection? So that's why then you move the deities. You don't do stuff like that. You know, you don't have to you know, our great attachment for technology and all that, not so important. You know, it's just like, you know, in the temple back, you know, next to Prabhupada, there's a room on the left there. I mean, you may or may not know about it. It's the old temple room. So that whole thing's dioramas, right? And those were put in there maybe in the 80s, like that. They're still there. People still go see them and everything. And I don't know if you remember, there was a time, I think, it may have been also later 80s and sometime in the 90s, where they're all into technology and all this, and we're going to make these, you know, like in Disneyland or something, where they have all these talking things and stuff like that, and that's going to impress the people, and then they're going to listen to the philosophy and all that. But the thing is to do that nicely, it costs millions of dollars, literally. Millions. And so, you know, we're not going to spend millions. We're going to do so. So it's not that impressive. You know, some of the villagers might think it's cool. Somebody might look at one. But then that, so where are those? Those dioramas are still there. So that's the thing. The personal thing, the natural things, the traditional things, those work. These other things, then, you know, are, who cares? Yeah. And it just probably looks really cheap.
Well, if you go now, it looks a bit tacky, but...
No, it's been looking tacky for a long time. You know? Yeah, so the whole point is these things, is who cares? I think they did something in Los Angeles, and you know, that. But it's like, no. People still go to the Louvre today. You know, they go to the Smithsonian. There's nothing moving there. You know, unless it's a Smithsonian, unless it's at nighttime, then it moves. But it's locked in, so you won't see it. Right? That makes sense?
Yes. The new auditorium they built, he said to make one movie costs around 15 to 20 million, which is half an hour, 3D movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And then...
No, it's just like that. I remember somehow or another, I don't know how, but I ended up getting, you know, this would have been, yeah, it could have been back in the 90s or something, or yeah, I don't know when it was, maybe late 90s, early noughts. I don't know. I was driving in this car. I got a ride in this nice car with some Punjabi gentleman, young guy, you know, probably late 20s, you know, latest early 30s. And, you know, in the discussion that comes up, he does animation. And, you know, they do animation for these big companies, you know, all the big Western movies and stuff like that. You see, most of the time in the credits, it's all Indians, you know, either Indians or you know, Asians like that, you know, like that. And so, one, because they're so clever in that, and they can focus and do these things, while everybody else is so spaced out on coffee and stuff, they can't focus enough. Right? So, he was saying that to do something like, it takes them 20 hours to make, I think it does time, I think 1 second or 3 seconds. And so it's huge, huge money. You know? So the things that they have to make the modern stuff, you know, the amount of computers, the amount of this and that, it's like you said, it's millions, millions and millions. So why bother? A nice diorama people like, appreciate. Because the point is you spend that, and it's great today, but after some time, it's like, that looks like, Prabhu said, tacky. You know, it's just, it doesn't mean anything. Remember when there was some discussion, an interview, you know, this was, I think, when I was a kid, seeing that there was some big actor, and he was discussing, and he was talking about a film that was made, I think, back in the, maybe in the 30s, or something, very classic film. And in this, then, he saw it when he was a kid, like that, may have been 40, something, there was an earlier film. And one of the main things was in that there was something where the, whoever's the, you know, the main character, the hero, then was tightrope walking across Niagara Falls. You know this movie? You know, really old movie. And so when he saw the kid, everyone's like amazed and this and that. And then, you know, one day he thought, wow, that was a good ring. You know, nostalgic, he was watching it. And then when he's watching it, he could see all the cuts, the editing cuts, everything like that. It's just so, you know, badly done at the time because it's never been done. People don't notice that. And they're just like, wow, this is amazing. So that's the thing, is that why do something that's, you know, not going to last? You know, you're doing it, the arts are there, and the arts very nicely express, and they last. You know, so a nice painting, a nice diorama, a nice, you know, how you say, you know, whatever it is, your relief work, your sculpting, like you know, he says, you know, was it La Pietà? You know, they're still looking at that down in the Vatican. Mm-hmm. No, La Pietà. No, no one knows. That's the that famous Michelangelo, Mother Mary and Jesus, you know, yeah. Like that. You know, it had it out in front, but so many people would touch it that it was affecting the, you know, oils in the fingers affecting the mark. So they brought it inside, put it on the side, so no one can touch it. You know, so these things are still there. All those things in there. You know, so Michelangelo and what's that other guy with the B? Bernini, I think. What do you say?
Da Vinci.
Da Vinci, Bernini, all these, you know, they've done all these things there, and you know, hundreds of years, like, people are still going to see that. But these other things is that they do these technical things after a few years, no one's going to watch them. So that's the thing, is that you have a classic thing. So this whole point of that, you have people carrying, and these people are qualified to carry. Not, oh no, I'm most senior, oh I'm this, I've been around, oh I did so much. No, it's whoever is big and strong, yes, and willing to listen to directions, and you know, and is competent, that's who's doing it. You know, it's like when we moved in the Sringaday, it was all the biggest guys around, that's the ones who moved the Sringaday. You'll see one picture at the end when the Sringaday's in place and everyone's kind of all sitting around like that. Yeah, you look at them, they're all big guys, you know, so that was the whole thing. So that has to be seen, you know. Otherwise, and so many times I know we want to move the deities, everyone wants to be involved. No, it's just guys that are big, strong, know what they're doing, and will listen to orders. Because otherwise, they don't do it. I think they had a problem in, I can't remember, one of the temples, when the deities got damaged like that. Because they insist that we use people that they say, and then it didn't work, and then when it didn't work, then they blame us. You know, so. Yeah.
I'm not sure if you ever seen the water, light, and fire show at Swaminarayan Temple in Delhi. It's quite, I mean, it's super impressive. They spend millions for a 20-minute show.
Right.
It's packed every single night.
Right.
So the show is so spectacular that it shows different demigods to try to take control.
Right.
But they fail every time.
Right.
And then at the end, they bring up how they should surrender to the Supreme.
Right.
And the Supreme is Swaminarayan.
Of course.
But the interesting thing is, the audience, they're not Gujaratis. So no one applauds at me because nobody understands who is this.
Who is this guy?
So the show is fantastic. I think the yoga teachers always do. The show is amazing.
Okay.
It's been going on for years.
Right.
But people are just watching and then they walk off.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, who's swimming around.
Yeah, it moves in that. And you're subject to it. It's nice if you can use it and somebody will talk and explain and all that. But the point is the point being made is, simple things that are classy and artistic and aesthetic, and that they last. They're it's an eternal principle. It'll always be there. And these other things, technology, you can use it, and if you get to advantage, then great. But one shouldn't get enamored by it. In other words, if you're enamored by it, then don't get involved. You know, same way, if you're enamored by the art, don't get involved, because where are the artists now? You know, they get too enamored. You know, so it's just a matter. It's a nice medium. Use it. You know, it's just more. See, it's that the closer things are to natural, the less they have power to distract you like that. You know, it's just like here. The ground, the floor is earth, directly earth. So that means there's zero. The Maya to it is there's nothing. But let's say you've taken earth and converted it into bricks. Now it has one step. like that. And then when you go farther, you know, like metal, then it's even more. You know, the more you get away, then you get into these plastics or this, that. It just gets farther and farther away. Mm-hmm. And it has an influence. I think that, I'm not sure, I think Silpa Shastra talks about this. So you see old temples in South, and you know, they were all previously, all had grass roofs. A few of them now still have, but previously they all had. And so that's why it was a big thing that, I can't remember when it was, 1100s or 14 or 16 or something, that the Chola kings, all the temples, at least on Tamil Nadu's side, then they were all built in stone. Because previously, all those temples weren't. They were all done in, you know, grass and you know, wood or bamboo or things like that. Because it was just, you know, less distracting. Like that. So only very major temples, you know, Sri Rangam, Jagannath, these ones like that. But all the other ones didn't have. You know, then locally you can, people can get it together and build a temple.
Yes, yes.
You know, so they don't get too distracted.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maharaj, I have a short question. I have seen in Jagannath Puri, Jagannath is very very big and very large.
Yes, hence,
yes,
the Daityas are very,
yes,
big and large.
Yes, but in most of his contemporary, Jagannath is small.
Yeah, well, that's a whole lot easier to carry around. You only need one Daita to move him.
Yes.
But like here, it takes like four people to move him.
Even Calcutta, deities appear small, Maharaj, but
yeah, it takes
four strong people.
Oh, four strong. Oh.
Sometimes some devotees very enthusiastically go, and then you see their facial expressions after.
Yeah, but that's why you don't do that. Beforehand, you decide who's doing it, and nobody else gets involved.
Yes.
And no matter who it is, and oh, but he was the biggest book to speak. So what? Let him stand in the front and watch. Let him move the people out of the way. You know? But this whole thing is, no, I got to do it. But you have to be qualified. It's just like, you know, okay, you know, Guru Maharaj is going to the airport. You know, who wants to drive? Oh, I want to drive. Yeah, okay. You know, you get to the car and all that. And, you know, like that. Do you know, you know, so, you know, you start off. You can't get it. Do you know how to drive? No. Like that. Then why are you here? Oh, I just wanted to. I just wanted to get the mercy. I wanted to be with Guru Maharaj and do service and all that. So, yeah. So that's the whole point, is that you have here, you have festivals.
Yes.
You designate certain people and nobody else takes part. Otherwise, they may get the mercy themselves, but they ruin it for the deities and for everybody else watching. But, yeah, what to do? You know, but at least they're enthusiastic and it's about the Lord, so that's nice. But at the same time, is you have to know who's who and who's qualified.
That's why it said that here, the king allowed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates to come and watch.
Yeah.
Otherwise, nobody's allowed.
No, because they don't. No one's there. So they would stand on the sides, watch,
yes,
like that. So the point was, is it would be in control by the administration.
Yes.
Pujaris are there. They have their people,
yes,
and that's it. Administration then is there. So between the administration and the pujaris, it all gets done.
Yes.
But now the modern thing of, you know, everybody, you know, is equal. Everybody gets to express and all that. It's just, it's impersonalism, because it's not about the deity. It's more about the social idea that everybody's the same. It has nothing to do with Krishna. Nothing to do with Krishna. Yes. These servants of Lord Jagannath take care of the Lord from the day of the Snan Yatra up to the time the Lord is carried from the throne to the Rath car. You know, because he'll have to be moved and different things, and so they take care and do all these things. In the Kshetra Mahatmya, these Daitas are said to come from the Sabaras, a caste that keeps and sells pigs. However, among the Daitas, there are also many who come from the Brahmana caste. Those Daitas coming from the Brahmana families are called Daitapatis, or leaders of the Daitas. The Daitapatis offer food such as sweetmeats to Lord Jagannath during the Anavasara, the resting period after Snan Yatra. Okay, well, that answers your question.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying, what happens to all that prashad and all that?
His question.
Oh, his question. Yeah, what happens to all the prashad? It's these Daitas eat it all, right? You know, these big guys. Says they offer sweets out, they eat it.
Yes.
Yeah, otherwise how do you do your service, right? They also make early morning offerings of sweetmeats daily. It is said that during the Anavasara, Lord Jagannath suffers from fever and that the Daityapatis offer him an infusion of drugs represented by fruit juice. It is said that in the beginning, Lord Jagannath was worshipped by the Sabaras and was known as the deity Nilamadava. Later, when the deity was established in the temple, the Lord became known as Jagannath. Because the deities were taken from the Sabaras, all the Sabara devotees were elevated to the position of Daityas. Mm-hmm. Right? Because they used to serve, so then this is their service. So this time of the year, this 2 weeks, then they do their service. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the year, then the other bandhas they do.
Every year they have the same thing with carpenters. He builds the carpet from scratch. Uh-huh. It's just hand tools.
Yeah.
All these hand tools. There's three carts built by hand.
No chainsaw.
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
Chisel.
Yeah. Yeah, that's we put 4 wheels and it's big. But I think on there's like 16. It's amazing, you know, how big the carts are. They're like, you know, it means I think some of them can be as wide as this room. You know, so the road is very wide.
Every time it gets wider, some of the homes are.
Yeah, no.
Wherever the Lord stops, that home goes.
If they get stuck somewhere, then that's it for your house. So don't set up your puchka stand there. 2:13:9-14. While carrying the deity of Lord Jagannath, some of the Daityas took hold of the shoulders of the Lord. Some caught his lotus feet. The Lord Jagannath deity was bound at the waist by a strong, thick rope made of silk. From two sides, the Daityas caught hold of this rope and raised the deity. Strong, puffed-up cotton pads called tulis were spread out from the throne to the car, and the heavy deity of Lord Jagannath was carried from one pillow-like pad to the next by the Daityas. While the Daityas carried the heavy Jagannath deity from one pad to the next, some of the pads broke and the cotton contents floated into the air. When they broke, they made a heavy cracking sound. Lord Jagannath is the maintainer of the whole universe. Who can carry him from one place to another? The Lord moves by his personal will just to perform his pastime. So he's moving, but, you know, he makes it, you know, they put in the effort because they're big, they're strong. This is their service. They want to do something strong. You know, like Bhima, he wants to, you know, toss elephants around for Krishna, you know, so then, you know, he's given that opportunity. Right, because it's shown that if he doesn't want to move, they can't move him. Like I said, there's one gate where he'll stop and they cannot move him. And he'll sit there for however long he likes and then at some point he'll move. And same with the cart. If he doesn't want to move, no matter how many people, they can't get the cart to move. So he's moving by his own will. While the Lord was transported from the throne to the car, tumultuous sounds were made on various musical instruments. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting, Mani Ma, Mani Ma, but he could not be heard. Srila Prabhupada. The word Mani Ma is used to address a respectable person in Orissa. Lord Jagannath was being respectfully addressed by Sri Chaitanya in this way. 2:13:15-18. While the Lord was being carried from the throne to the car, King Pretaparudra personally engaged in the Lord's service by cleansing the road with a broom that had a golden handle. The king sprinkled the road with sandalwood-scented water. Although he was the owner of the royal throne, he engaged in menial service for the sake of Lord Jagannath. Although the king was the most exalted, respectable person, still he accepted menial service for the Lord. He therefore became a suitable candidate for receiving the Lord's mercy. Upon seeing the king engaged in such menial service, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy. Simply by rendering this service, the king received the mercy of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. Unless one receives the mercy of the Lord, he cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead or engage in his devotional service. A devotee has received even a small fraction of the mercy of the Lord can understand him. Others may engage in theoretical speculation to understand the Lord, but they cannot know anything about him. Although Maharaj Pretaparudra was very eager to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord refused to see him. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the king engaged in menial service for Lord Jagannath, he became very happy. Thus the king became eligible to receive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. If a devotee accepts Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the universal guru and Lord Jagannath as the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna, he has benefited by the combined mercy of Krishna and guru. Right? Because before, I'm sure he mentioned that, you know, surely he'll get Krishna's mercy, but he wasn't giving his mercy at that point. Excuse me. Oh, boy. Oof. That is stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his instructions to Rupa Goswami, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhulila 19.151. Ramanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prashade Pai Bhakti Lata Beech. The seed of devotional service fructifies and becomes a transcendental creeper. Finally, it reaches the lotus feet of the Lord in the spiritual sky. This seed is obtained by the mercy of the Lord and the Guru. By the Lord's mercy, one gets the association of a bona fide guru. And by the mercy of guru, one gets a chance to render devotional service. Devotional service, the science of bhakti yoga, carries one from this material world to the spiritual world. Yes, so by Krishna's mercy, you get the associated bona fide guru, and by the mercy of guru, you get devotional service. That devotional service then carries you to Krishna. Everyone at 2:13:19. Everyone was astonished to see the decorations on the Rath cart. The car appeared to be newly made of gold, and it was as high as Mount Sumeru. Srila Prabhupada. In the year 1973, there was a gorgeous Rath Yatra festival in London, England. And the car was brought to Trafalgar Square. The London daily newspaper, The Guardian, published a front page photo caption, "ISKCON Rath Yatra is rival to the Nelson Column in Trafalgar Square." The Nelson Column is a very impressive statue of Lord Nelson and can be seen from a good distance. Just as the residents of Puri compared the Rath Yatra car to Mount Sumeru, the residents of London considered the car rival to Nelson Monument. Of course. Has to go. Yeah. 2:13:20-23. The decorations included bright mirrors and hundreds of chamaras, white whisks, whisks made of yak tails. On top of the car were a neat and clean canopy and a very beautiful flag. The car was also decorated with silken cloth and various pictures. Many brass bells, gongs, and ankle bells rang. For the pastimes of Rath Yatra festival, Lord Jagannath got aboard one car, and his sister Subhadra and elder brother Balaram got aboard two other cars. For 15 days, the Lord had remained in a secluded place with the Supreme Goddess of Fortune and had performed his pastimes with her. Srila Prabhupada. The 15-day period of Anavasara is also called Nibrita, in honor of the solitary place where the Supreme Goddess of Fortune lives. After living there a fortnight, Lord Jagannath took permission from the Goddess of Fortune to leave. 2:13:24. Having taken permission from the Goddess of Fortune, the Lord came out to ride on the Rath car and perform his pastimes for the pleasure of the devotees. Srila Prabhupada. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that as an ideal husband, Lord Jagannath remained 15 days in a secluded place with his wife, the Supreme Goddess of Fortune. Nonetheless, the Lord wanted to come out of seclusion to give happiness to his devotees. The Lord enjoys himself in two ways, known as Swakiya and Parakiya. The Lord's conjugal love in the Swakiya rasa relates to the regulative principles observed in Dwarka, for the Lord has many married queens. But in Vrindavan, the conjugal love of the Lord is not with his married wives, but with his girlfriends, the gopis. Conjugal love with the gopis is called Parakiya Rasa. Lord Jagannath leaves the secluded place where he enjoys the company of the Supreme Goddess of Fortune in Swakiya Rasa, and he goes to Vrindavan, where he enjoys the Parakiya Rasa. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur therefore reminds us that the Lord's pleasure in Parakiya Rasa is superior to his pleasure in Swakiya Rasa. In the material world, Parakiya Rasa, or loving affairs with unmarried girlfriends, is the most degraded relationship. But in the spiritual world, this type of loving affair is considered the supreme enjoyment. In the material world, everything is but a reflection of the spiritual world, and that reflection is perverted. Right? It's perverted. One, you see it's upside down, but the other aspect is that it's about ourselves. Spiritual world, in its original, is about Krishna. But in the material world, it's about ourselves. So that's the perverted aspect. We cannot understand the affairs of the spiritual world on the basis of our experience in the material world. The Lord's pastimes with the gopis are therefore misunderstood by mundane scholars and word wranglers. The Parakiya Rasa of the spiritual world should not be discussed except by one who is very advanced in pure devotional service. The Parakiya Rasa of the spiritual world and that in the material world are not comparable. The former is like gold and the latter is like iron. Because the difference between the two is so great, they cannot actually be compared. However, just as a knowledgeable person can easily distinguish gold from iron, one who has the proper realization can easily distinguish the transcendental activities of the spiritual world from material activities. Right? Certain elements of rasa are the same. Like you see the mechanical aspects of how the different bhavas and all that, how they move and transform in that. That's the same. But the point is the reason for those interactions coming up will be selfish rather than selfless for pleasing Krishna. And the intensity of them is not at all has that fullness. It's there it's unlimited happiness, while here it's fleeting happiness. Verses 25-69. Lord Chaitanya organizes and inspires the Sankirtan parties. 2:13-25-60. The fine white sand spread all over the path resembled the bank of the Jamuna, and the small gardens on both sides looked just like those in Vrindavan. So it seems before the road had sand on it, and there were gardens on both sides.
Yes. They go along by the seaside. They take the car along by the seaside. They were saying.
No, they're going down to means it wasn't so built up, so you can see everything there. Means now it's like, you know, you got all these hotels there and everything like that and shops, but previously that was all open. Just like in Vrindavan, you would have the main temples that were there, the seven main temples. In between it was just forest. Right? That behind Aloy Bazaar, but let's see. In the street, you know, where Madan Mohan is, Shamasundar, and then it comes up and there's Loy Bazaar. Like that. You know, it comes into Loy Bazaar and that goes down to the next road that goes back in. I don't know, is that Ratia Bazaar or something? I don't remember the... So, in that area there was, that was the Agrahara of the Pujaris for the temples. They all lived there. But otherwise, then everything else was just open. You could just walk straight from one temple to the next. Now you have to zigzag through everything. But one could say, well, how did this all happen? It's just like when we set up here, then there was just a, what do you call it? You know, it was open land. But now it's like, and then there'd be, during the festival, people would come, and there would be a few shops right directly in front. And that. And then there would be, others would come and set up a few stalls, you know, along the road, you know, temporary during the festival, and then they'd go away. And then they get a little bigger and bigger, and now it's like there's shop all the way down. You know, only that little bit in front of, I think, the Goswami Mat is not there. But otherwise, then that's how they start. You know, and then you see in Gauranagar, you know, you have one or two places, and then slowly, slowly, as time goes, all the ground floors will all become shops. You know? Like that. So that's just how it works. This with time, then it all builds up. Because the temple is right on the beach, but now there's so much stuff there, you may not really appreciate that. Yeah. But that doesn't matter.
That's why the Pandavas, they just got the Brahmins. The Vaishyas come on their own, like, as soon as...
Yes.
The opportunity for business.
Yeah, no, they immediately come. You're saying when Indraprastha was established, then, you know, they invited Brahmins, and then once something's going on there, then all the Vaishyas came in and start selling their wares, and if it goes well, then they set up, and then they stay. So you'll always have that. So that's why you have to see to that. That's why it's a descending process. The devotees are there, the Brahmins are there, establish the Kshatriyas, everybody else will naturally come in place. Because you're protecting, so then in a protected environment, you can do business.
Yes.
Right? You know, so that's the whole thing. You can't do business if the environment's not protected. Does that make sense? Verses, okay, the final, okay. As Lord Jagannath rode in his car and saw the beauty on both sides, his mind was filled with pleasure. The pullers of the car were known as Gaudas, and they pulled with great pleasure. However, the car sometimes went very fast and sometimes very slow. Sometimes the car would stand still and not move, even though it was pulled very vigorously. The chariot therefore moved by the will of the Lord, not by the strength of any ordinary person. Wow. As the car stood still, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gathered all his devotees and, with his own hand, decorated them with flower gardens and sandalwood pulp. Oh, gathered all his devotees. Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati were both personally given garlands and sandalwood pulp from the very hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This increased their transcendental pleasure. Footnote 1. Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Puri are among the quote-unquote nine roots of the quote-unquote Chaitanya tree, described in Adi Lila chapters 9 through 12. Paramananda Puri was the very dear disciple of Madhavendra Puri. When Lord Chaitanya accepted the renounced order, Paramananda Puri offered him the danda. The Gauranga Deepika 1.18 states, Paramananda Puri is none other than Uddhava. Brahmananda Bharati went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Dham. At that time, he used to wear only a deerskin to cover himself. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu indirectly indicated that he did not like this deerskin covering. Brahmananda Bharati therefore gave it up and accepted a loincloth of saffron color, as used by Vaishnav sannyasis. For some times, he lived with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri. Similarly, when Advaitacharya Nityananda Prabhu felt the touch of the transcendental hand of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were very pleased. The Lord also gave garlands and sandalwood pulp to the performers of Sankirtana. The two chief performers were Sroop Damodar and Srivas Thakur. There were altogether four parties of kirtan performers, comprising 24 chanters. In each party, there were also two madanga players, making an additional eight persons. So 24 was chanting, so their business would be chanting. Others can join, but they will do the chanting. Right?
So they were chanting together?
No, generally you have the lead, and then the lead has some assistance. You know, because they all know the tunes, and so when he sings, they just sing along with, but he goes up, they do the higher, they do lower, like this. We used to do here, before they had the mics and everything.
Yes, yes,
yes. Is that you had the one main singer, and then three others would assist. So you had four total. Yes. Then everybody can hear. You don't need microphones.
Yes, yes.
And that way you can move around, you can dance. So there's the microphone. You have to stand there like a cold fish. When the four parties were formed, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after some consideration, divided the chanters. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Nityananda Prabhu, Advaitacharya, Haridas Thakur, and Vakreshwara Pandit to dance in each of the four respective parties. So you're going to have the lead singer with their assistants. You're going to have all the other singers who are going to respond to make sure that it's going on, because others can come and go or this or that, but you know it'll go on. Then you have the main dancer. They'll do the dancing and inspire what happens. Others then can follow.
Yes. Like, and the people who are devoted to a musical instrument.
Yeah.
This means it's different from the singer.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, generally. It means if it's smaller, no one else, then you play it yourself. But the natural thing is you don't. You just sing. Yes. You don't even have to play kartals.
Yes, yes.
Because, you know, everybody knows nicely and everything like that. And just by how you do things, they know when it's picking up, the mood. Mm-hmm. You know how to get them going and everything like that. Srup Damodar was chosen as the leader of the first party and was given 5 assistants to respond to his chanting. Mm-hmm. The 5 who responded to the singing of Srup Damodar were Damodar Pandit, Narayana, Govinda Dutta, Raghava Pandit, and Sri Govinda Ananda. Dvaitacharya Prabhu was ordered to dance in the first group. The Lord then formed another group with Srivas Thakur as the chief man. The 5 singers who responded to the singing of Srivas Thakur were Gangadas, Haridas, Sriman, Subhananda, and Sri Rama Pandit. Sri Nityananda Prabhu was appointed as a dancer. Another group was formed consisting of Vasudev, Gopinath, and Murari. All these were responsive singers, and Mukunda was the chief singer. Another 2 persons, Srikanda and Vallabhasena, joined as responsive singers. In this group, the senior, Haridas Thakur, was the dancer. The Lord formed another group, appointing Govinda Ghosh as leader. In this group, the younger Haridas, Vishnudas, and Raghava were the responding singers. 2 brothers named Madhav Ghosh and Vasudev Ghosh also joined this group as responsive singers. Vakreshwar Pandit was the dancer. So if this responsive singers means they sing along with the lead, or they respond too. So they chant very loudly in that. So they can hear he chant, then they sing, and so everybody else knows what's going on, and then they can follow.
Yes, yes.
Right? Either way, it'll work. You know.
Yes.
2 brothers named Madhava Ghosh and Vasudev Ghosh also joined this group as responsive singers. Vakreshwara Pandit was the dancer. There was a Samkirtan party from the village known as Kulinagram, and Ramananda and Satyaraj were appointed the dancers in this group. There was another party that came from Shantipur and was formed by Advaitacharya. Achyutananda was the dancer, and the rest of the men were singers. Another party was formed by the people of Kanda. These people were singing in a different place. In that group, Narahari Prabhu and Raghunandana were dancing. 4 parties chanted and danced in front of Lord Jagannath, and on either side was another party. Yet another was at the rear. There were altogether 7 parties of Samkirtan. Right? He started off with 4, but then he divided it again because he thought that's not going to work. So 4 were in the front, you know, because it's very wide, then 2 on the sides and 1 in the rear.
Yes.
And that way then you had surround sound. Right? There were altogether 7 parties of Sankirtana, and in each party 2 men were beating drums. Thus 14 drums were being played at once. The sound was tumultuous, and all the devotees became mad. All the Vaishnavas came together like an assembly of clouds. As the devotees chanted the holy names in great ecstasy, tears fell from their eyes like rain. When the Sankirtan resounded, it filled the 3 worlds. Indeed, no one could hear any sounds or musical instruments other than the Sankirtana. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wandered through all 7 groups, chanting the holy name, Hari, Hari. Raising his arms, he shouted, all glories to Lord Jagannath. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then exhibited another mystic power by performing pastimes simultaneously in all 7 groups. So first he's just moving through them, but then he stays in all 7 of them at the same time. Everyone said, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is present in my group. Indeed, he does not go anywhere else. He is bestowing his mercy upon us. Actually, no one could see the inconceivable potency of the Lord. Only the most confidential devotees, those in pure, unalloyed devotional service, could understand. Because he would do that in Vrindavan, you know, with the gopis, you know, also the queens. He would do that, all, you know, with the cowherd boys. Lord Jagannath was very much pleased by the Sankirtana, and he brought his car to a standstill just to see the performance. Right, so the point is, Jagannath sees a performance, not we see a performance of Jagannath. You know, like that, yeah. Yeah, slightly different. King Bhratabhru was so astonished to see the Sankirtana, he became inactive and was converted to a static love of Krishna. When the king informed Kashi Mishra of the glories of the Lord, Kashi Mishra replied, "O king, your fortune has no limit." The king and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya were both aware of the Lord's activities, but no one else could see the tricks of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Only a person who has received the mercy of the Lord can understand. Without the Lord's mercy, even the demigods headed by Lord Brahma cannot understand, so they could only see one. Right? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been very satisfied to see the king accept the menial task of sweeping the street. And for this humility, the king received the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He could therefore observe the mystery of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities. Right? Jai. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki
jai. We see that the king, he changed from he was not, Chaitanya didn't want to see him, to have a special mercy.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes, yes.